Ready? Okay. Good morning. Let's have a morning of worship together, and following a wonderful message by Chris, so let's prepare for our morning of worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the God that you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come before you and worship with other friends and live our life to glorify Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, now, I have been into prayer and talking about Spring Valley Bible Church. And I hope that people are listening on the internet, and I pray that more of you will consider coming to church and worshiping with us. I drive by other churches, and they're packed. And we could get more people to come together and worship together. This is what we need to do. And part of that, I think we need to get involved at the church with singing, praying, talking, getting things done in that respect. So let's begin this morning by turning to your hymnals to page 406. Teach me, O Lord, I pray. And we're going to study tonight a little bit about prayer and learning the Word of God. So, and then in a few moments, we're going to sing another song. We're going to get back into worshiping God together in this assembly. So let's begin with stand together and sing, Teach me, O Lord, I pray.
Teach me, O Lord, I pray, Thy precious truth divine. Lead me to understand Thy word and make its precepts mine. Impart Thy wisdom, Lord, shed light upon my way, that I may know Thy boundless love. Teach me, O Lord, I pray. Train me, O Lord, I pray, in knowledge and in skill. O daily let me walk with Thee and do Thy perfect will. Train now my heart and mind to serve Thee unashamed, at home, abroad, wherever the Christ has yet to be proclaimed. Use me, O Lord, I pray, to shed Thy light sublime, to rich and poor, to high and low, of every race and clime. Oh, may Thy flaming zeal burn constantly in me, till souls in darkness everywhere fall down and worship Thee.
Okay, now, all right. Yesterday, important day in America's history, and I hope that you had some time in prayer. One thing that was very interesting, Judith and I yesterday, was watching a very important show, movie, that I highly recommend to any of you. It was a story of James E. Rutter, R-U-D-D-E-R. He was a past president at Texas A&M in 1959 to 1970 when he died. Unbelievable man, unbelievable story. The movie is about Point de Hoc, P-O-N-T-E-D-U-H-O-C, battle during the invasion at Normandy. And he was the commander at that time, and he had a public heart and silver heart and bronze star medal. I highly recommend you listen to the movie on dealing with the Point de Hoc and enjoy it and the history of what's going on at that time. Not very many people like that in America today, and we're losing them very quickly. What I thought was interesting was he won the Purple Heart and the Silver Heart and the Bronze Star Medal, and it got me to thinking, what about you and your medals at the judgment seat of Christ? You want to earn some? Christ wants to give you some. So it's not something, well, I don't want to do those things. I just want to do it because I love the Lord. No, he wants to give us the reward. So if he wants to give it, you should want to have one and to get a reward at the judgment seat of Christ that will last to glorify him for all eternity. So this is a beautiful thought in regard to where we're going in this regard. Now, let's talk about prayer. And Chris Daigh's family, once again, they must want to be in a lot of our prayers, having their son and their family in constant prayers. So right now has two sons under battle. One is both came under the COVID-19, and both are doing very well. One guy made his way back to Texas A&M, and then the other is going back to school. So let's please be in prayer for these two at this time in this battle. Now, are there any other prayers that I need to be aware of in getting in line for prayer? Not just for COVID-19. Sometimes we begin to think that's the only thing. No, there are a lot of other problems that people have. And COVID-19 is not the main. It's not the only one that's out there. So let's be in prayer. I know in our family, we have two daughters that are recovering. They're not recovered. Recovering from COVID-19. And we have a granddaughter recovering from COVID-19. And a grandson covering from COVID-19. So please be in prayer there. And any other prayer requests, anything. Okay? Now let's talk about Spring Valley Bible Church. It has the opportunity to serve the Lord in many different ways. I'm just amazed the smallness of this assembly, even those who are coming on and listening, and yet we have a man like Chris Day teaching the Word of God powerfully. We have Phil McMillan teaching the Word of God, and we have Kit teaching the Word of God every Wednesday, and Kit also does a lot of work in regarding the messages that I will be giving out to you. So please be in prayer. Yes.
We have a prayer request from Martha from the online live session. She said, please add my mom, Mia Bellens, to the prayer list. Today is her wedding anniversary. They did get to celebrate 58 years together.
Wow.
Before Daddy passed. So she realized she misses him.
Very good. We'll be in prayer. Martha, thank you. Thank you very much. So let's, yes.
I just thought of one. A friend of mine has a brother. The brother's name is Raymond Gilmore.
Raymond Gilmore.
Heart attack, like, I think it was a little over a week ago. They had to revive him, and when they did, there's some issue with the brain. He was in ICU for a number of days. He's awake, but not totally responsive. And so he's kind of at that critical stage of they're not sure what to do next. So hopefully he'll pull through, but I just want to put him on the list.
Keep us posted.
Okay.
And get him onto the prayer list. Okay. We have an opportunity in this assembly with what I was saying about the men that we have in Chris Daig and Kit and Phil and my teaching in the Word of God. That is just amazing. Four teachers around the Word of God in a small assembly. So please be in prayer for each of these men and their study, their teaching, and their life, things that they have to get done. Think of this assembly, things that we wanted to get done, things we need to have gotten done. More people coming to church to worship together. I just am amazed that we don't have more people with that kind of teaching going on, with not more people coming to worship together. So let's be in that prayer and that. And then in the outreach of missionaries and the getting ready with our young people. So we have a lot of things we need to be doing. That gives us an opportunity of giving to the Lord. Now, Jim Passmore is going to be giving information on our finances, so that we'll have that taken up. And in fact, as I was talking about, I want to get things done for this assembly in that once a month, we'll go through the our financial list. We're going to be going through things, and the things that you would want to have be done, part of a church, let me know. Let me know what else. We need to sing more. We need to get where we are financially more. We need to talk, communicate with various problems, more and more, more joys, happinesses between one each other. So we have a lot to be done in regard to our assembly of this church, glorifying the Lord. So let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to serve the Lord, to grow in the Word, to tell others of Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for this assembly, the privilege, the opportunity that we have to come together, pray together, sing together, give offerings together. Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use these offerings to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Great joys of the church, studying the Word of God, the wonderful words of life. Let's stand and sing the wonderful words of life, song 142. 142, wonderful words of life, and worship together.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. wonderful words of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, this little loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, luring us to heaven. Wonderful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
All right, thank you. Very good. We're going to be singing at least two hymns each Sunday now, and worship together in different ways that I can think of, that you can think of, that we can do together to bring assembly into the church. Now, this morning we're going to study the Word of God. And first thing we're going to look at, something that Kirk Dave was talking about this morning in regard to the studying passage that he is in, and I'm going to do a little work on the putting forth proper understanding of a passage that we've already had once, but not too pleased with it. We've done it before even now, but Phyllis Music has called, and she was not pleased with the teaching that we did. So I said, all right, let's just straighten it up and get it going the correct way. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit praying for us. So let's begin with the word of prayer and then get into our study in the Word of God. Let us pray. We consider it the great privilege to pray to you, God, to know that you're a God who hears, desires, wants our prayers, wants to hear us pray. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open up our eyes and wake us up to prayer. To this end, Father, we do pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, when we are confused in life, maybe broken, God the Holy Spirit prays for us. Sometimes things just get too heavy, too broken in life. We really don't know how to pray. So this is important in regard to our lives. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Now, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now look at verse 27. And He, now who is this He's referring to? He, this refers to our friend Jesus Christ. That's what we need to get a clear understanding. And He, the Holy Spirit, the Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend, who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is, because He, Jesus Christ, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I hope you understand what we've just noted. First of all, God the Holy Spirit prays for us. Secondly, Jesus Christ prays for us to God the Father according to His will. So you've got all three members of the Godhead involved in our prayer life. I want you to notice two important points. First, notice our condition. We are weak and helpless. At certain times, very helpless. Secondly, notice who is there with us. All three members of the Godhead. All three. God the Holy Spirit to pray for us. God the Son, Jesus Christ, searches our hearts and also intercedes for us. And we can pray to God the Father. So all three members of the Godhead are involved with your prayer life, people. Now, we start off with our weaknesses in this deal. Start off with our weaknesses. Secondly, the Holy Spirit looks at our condition and cares for us and prays for us when we do not know what to pray. The Holy Spirit looks and knows our condition, that we cannot pray and what to pray. So the Holy Spirit prays for us. Three, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. People, this is wonderful. Here too, here you are in the sorrow and suffering circumstances of life. You do not even know what to pray. And the Holy Spirit knows what needs to be said to God the Father. Four, now this is something beautiful. When you are in this condition, your Savior also steps in. And here is something so wonderful. Jesus Christ is also said to pray for us. Not only in His prayer in John 17, but this is also declared in Hebrews chapter 7, 25, as well as Hebrews chapter 8 that we just read. Look at Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, He is also able to save forever those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus Christ, He knows and is constantly in prayer for you. The Holy Spirit is in prayer for you. So when things happen in your life, can be illness of deep, of the COVID-19, other things that can happen, financial problems, whatever that may happen, you got three members of the Godhead on your side with your prayer life. Now, five, here is the love of God for us when we need Him in the time of prayer. Don't spend time in the situations. spend your time in prayer with God and for God. He will give peace to your soul, strengthen your weaknesses in your life. That's what God will do for us. Six, here is something else that's wonderful. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ prays for us according to the will of God. That's when it's wonderful. I don't know about you. I don't always know even what I think God's will would be. How wonderful it is to know. He knows, He cares, and He will vote for you. He will pray for you to God the Father. They will pray for you to God the Father. Prays for you according to what God desires to be done. Do you know always what is needed? This means that God the Father, think about this, this means that God the Father cares about us. He cares about how we hurt. He cares about how we care about things. And He cares about His need for our help. Sometimes we're in fear, in weakness, and even know that the will of God is in the situation. And here comes your friend. You don't know what's going on. I don't know what to pray. It's not working. Life isn't going right. And you've got two friends that come to your side immediately. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ come immediately at your side to pray for you. Exactly what God the Father wills. That's phenomenal. That's peace. That's joy. That's comfort. You don't need to get lost in wondering about your prayers. Just calm down. Go into prayer. Be quiet and listen to your three friends involved in it. God the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and God the Father. Let me ask you, do you know exactly what to pray all the time in everything that's going on in the world, even in the world today, politically, materially? COVID-19, all these type of things, and especially things that are going on in your life spiritually. Do you really know all that's going on with believers in our assembly? Why are not more believers at our assembly? Why not? Why not more believers listening on the internet? Why not more getting out around the world? How are we doing on the world? How are we doing on the world?
We're hovering at about 100 countries at the moment.
All right. 123 listening.
100 countries.
Oh, wow. All right. Very good. Let's be in prayer for them. Pray for them and pray for more that will hear. And then to pray for those who come to Spring Valley Bible Church. I don't always know what is needed. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ know, and they will come to God to pray for us. And then 7, so often when we find ourselves so weak and do not even know what to pray, we can find ourselves empty in love. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ prays by bringing to us the love of God and the love of Christ. And they know that we need their love. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, and that is in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Now, question. Why does the Holy Spirit pray for us? I'm not a great person, not this, I don't have that, not rich, not all this. Why would he pray for us? Pray for me. Let's deal with three main reasons. One, he prays for us because we're weak and we are in need of his aid. We need his strength. Secondly, he prays for us because we do not know how to pray. Do not even know how to pray. And three, he prays for us because he intercedes for us by the will of God. We do not know what God's plan or will is, and yet the Holy Spirit knows and prays. Question: why does Jesus Christ pray for us? Think about that. The Son of God, our Savior, prays for us. Why is that? One, because he loves us. He not only died for us, but he loves us and cares about us every day in everything. Secondly, because he loves God the Father, and God the Father loves him, and God the Father loves us, and because we love him, and because he loves us, he loves us and prays for us. When things in your life come to a point where you are simply do not know what to pray, simply do not understand what's going on, just bow your head and pray. Bow your head and be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit to utter the words for us, to proclaim a prayer to us. Then have peace in your soul. First appears the quietness. Now, peace in your soul for the prayers of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus Christ. In all circumstances, we are helpless. And we are in need to just go into prayer to God for our needs. And when we do not know, go to the Holy Spirit. Go to Jesus Christ to pray for us. Often, what we physically need is not what it is. It's what we spiritually need that we need that the Holy Spirit gives us. We may not directly know what God is doing in COVID-19. I certainly don't. It's so expensive. To me, my wife and I talk a lot. It's just exciting listening. What's going on to the whole world? America losing its place in the world. No place is in a greater place now in the world. It's, as far as I'm concerned, ready for Christ to call us home and come home and for him to come to earth. Don't know what it is. All of his plan is. But the Holy Spirit knows, and Jesus Christ knows, and they love you, and they want to pray for you. We may not know what is going on in our own assembly, but the Holy Spirit knows, and Jesus Christ knows. Therefore, let's be in prayer together, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit in regard to this assembly, in regard to our lives, to the glory of God the Father. Okay, now, we're going to go into our study. I'm discouraged with Ephesians chapter 1, how long it takes. I do realize one time a week, one that's not enough to get very much done, especially you take just the time we have, an hour, once a week, to come here to study this word. What a shame. What a real shame. I wish we had 3 during the week and then 2 on Sunday just to deal with Ephesians. It's that important. It's that powerful to be in prayer. See? But what God is doing. So, let's get to work and look at wisdom and revelation. Wisdom and revelation. Instead of being occupied with the world, spend your time on wisdom from the Word of God and true knowledge from the Word of God. Now, Phil just did a good study on wisdom in the study a couple of weeks ago. And you could spend years just studying the wisdom. But here we'll just mention upon it and work on it as it is done in the Word of God. Time is getting close for the rapture of the church. Whatever that is, it's getting closer. It's getting closer than it was for Paul. So it's getting closer. So we can understand that. So spend your time on wisdom and true knowledge and telling others of the coming of Christ. We have spent a time on the 16 verses of Ephesians 1. We've got to move on, and I know that. It is so important to study and learn the Word of God, for the more we learn, the more we love. And repeat that. It is so important to study and learn the Word of God, for the more we learn, the more we love God. And the more we love God, the more we learn of Him. And the more we learn, the more we love. That's the way we grow. So I pray that more and more desire to come to this church, to worship with us, have 4 wonderful teachers, sound teachers of the Word of God, to come here and worship. So we have everything that's ready necessary for it. Due to the control of Jesus Christ over history, the place of America is moving away from this nation. Who once loved God, but those days are dying out. I pray that now the predominant attitude in America is no longer about America, but is about replaced to this nation the love and loyalty to Jesus Christ by the believers throughout America. That God, that all glorious Father, gracious, loving Father of His Son, our Savior, might become, as He is our Redeemer, might become and enrich us in wisdom and true knowledge. That He will cause us to know those. Spending time, American history, let's set it aside. Let's now get there for wisdom and true knowledge. What is the most important issue upon which you should pray for another believer? Wisdom and true knowledge. Now, let's get to where we are. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, 15, 16, and 17. For this reason, I, Paul, too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, that's these believers, and your love for all the saints, for each other, do not cease. I, Paul, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, in that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, or revelation in true knowledge of Him. In other words, what we've now doing, looking at Paul, praying to God, one of the most beautiful studies throughout the Word of God in the New Testament, is this prayers, are the prayers of Paul, given by every one of his writings. He loves and is devoted to responsibility to pray for other believers. So, what is it that Paul prays for God to give to those believers and to us? As we will, it is for the ministry, as we'll see, it's for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what he prays for. The ministry of the Holy Spirit to give wisdom and true knowledge. To give wisdom and true knowledge. What is going on in verse 15, 16 and 17? Paul is continually giving thanksgiving and asking in prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may keep on giving the believers the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation that he can do, that we can learn, and that we may know him better, and therefore had love of him. Paul keeps on offering prayers of thanksgiving. Now, when you offer thanksgiving to God, what exactly do you ask him to conceive, to receive for yourself, or what is it that you give thanksgiving for? Now, if you have the writing of this morning, is a thing that Kit put for us. I bold printed the part of this prayer, but the whole thing is part of the passage. That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you the Holy Spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the true knowledge of Him. That may give the Holy Spirit of wisdom and true knowledge. I want you to pay close attention to Paul's prayer to God the Father for believers. Know a little about yourself, what you pray for others in home, your marriages, your family, friends, church, life. He prays the same, listen to this, the same principle of prayer that Jesus Christ prays to God the Father for us. John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 16. I, Jesus Christ, will ask the Father, and he will give you another Parakletos. Not a helper, a Parakletos. That he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Now, both Paul and Jesus pray that believers will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that they will have wisdom and true knowledge of God. Now, what do you pray? What do you pray for in your prayers to God concerning your own prayers, your own desires? I hope you learn to pray for knowledge and wisdom of God. Now let's look at verse 17. That the God, this is, of course, reference to the Father, who is the author of the predesigned plan that we live in. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Here are three things about Jesus Christ, executor of God's predesigned plan. Lord refers to his deity. Jesus is a reference to his humanity, meaning the deliverer or receiver, rescuer of our Savior. Then Paul emphasizes him as the anointed one or the Savior, therefore is his title and given the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at the Father of glory. The Father of glory. Here is hope that each day in you in glory pray to God. This refers to glory, splendor, or radiance. The word is used five times in chapter 1, 3 times in chapter 3. In chapter 5, look at it, 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. The glory of his grace. 1:12, the praise of his glory. 1:14, to the praise of his glory. 1:17, the Father of glory. 18, the riches of the glory. We're looking at two of those, the Father of glory and the riches of his glory. Now, we could spend a lot of time on the glory. Let's just put together some things and then move on. Point one, we're dealing with defining the glory of God. Defining, how would you define, think about it. Just think yourself, how would I define the glory of God? How would I define that? If I had to say to somebody, he is glorified, he is glory, how would we define that? Many times, many issues are defined using comparisons throughout the Bible to define glory. Secondly, for example, glory is defined by honor, by achievements, by magnificence. But one may be aware more excellent than another. Take the idea of beauty. How would you define something or someone as beautiful? How would you define a woman beautiful? How would you define God beautiful? How would you do that? Three, God created mankind to gravitate to glory or to beauty. Therefore, mankind gravitates to God, to his glory, to his beauty. Some people all they can think about is a woman. But I want you to start thinking about glory. It's about God, his glory, his beauty. For inevitably, all glory is related to God the Father and to his plan and to his grace and gravitated to his Son. Five, as to believer grows in the Word of God, he seeks to see the glory of the Lord. We seek to see it. Let's read Psalm 27:4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. There's a good prayer for you every day. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. 6. Although we may not know how to define His glory, we should strive to come to know it, to see it. Psalm 29:1. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Ascribe to the glory of the Lord due to His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Or, accuse another way of wording this, 1 Chronicles 16:29. Ascribe, you understand what the word ascribe, ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Psalm 51, the mighty one, God, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to the setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shown. 7. All to in the glory of eternity. To enter into the glory of eternity when we die, when we're raptured home. Isaiah 4:2. On that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of these survivors of Israel. Isaiah 28:5. In that day, the Lord of armies will become a beautiful crown and a glorious diadem to the redeemed remnant of the people. 8. Let's close this on the glory and beauty of humans. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the God does not see as man sees, since man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's where your real beauty is going to be. Because beauty is spoken in the Word of God in regard to the woman, much is said about it. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. 1 Timothy 2:9-following. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modesty, discreetly, not with depraved braided hair and gold, or pearls or expensive apparel, but rather by means of good works, as in prosper, which is proper for a woman making a claim to godliness. 1 Peter 3 and following. Your adornment, speaking of women, your adornment must not be merely the external, braiding of the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on apparel. There's nothing wrong with those. That's fine. But you want verse 4. But it should be the hidden person of the soul, or the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. I didn't do that on purpose. Now back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus may give you the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the true knowledge of Him. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, here is the executor of God's precious plan. Lord refers to the deity. We've gone through that. The Lord of glory, as we've spent some time on glory. Now, may give. Now you got to slow down. Now you got to go to may give. The Greek word is important, so just throw down and look at it. Refers to here and the ingredients of the wisdom being mentioned. May give to you the Spirit. Here we have two very important points in this phrase. First, let's look at the Spirit. Now, let's first of all just begin with the word. Is this referring to the Holy Spirit or the human spirit? I don't think about that, because some nice teachers put on one, some fine teachers put on the other. So you've got to think about it. Which is being talked about here, where he says, may give to you the Spirit. Now this is the Holy Spirit or human spirit? This is, of course, does not refer to the human spirit. For the human spirit does not possess a spirit of wisdom. So it must be referring to the Holy Spirit. Also, the expression, a spirit of revelation, does not signify a human quality. Now, what we're going to be doing here, let me just talk to you a minute. We're looking at these. Holy Spirit coming to us. But we've got a lot of problems. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now he says he's going to pray for the Holy Spirit. How can you do that? So we've got some different questions and problems we're going through. So let's take a look. Now, according to Harold Horner, when I was at Texas A&M, when I was at the Bible College, Dallas Theological Seminary is where I went, and Dr. Horner, was the professor in one of them, and we had a good class. We had him for several classes, and he and I would go after it in the various classes, and I'm just very thankful for Harold Horner. But let's see now. According to Harold Horner, there are at least 7 reasons which indicate that this is the Holy Spirit rather than the human spirit. Now, I'm not going to go over those, but just to let you know, he's got 7 reasons why it's the Holy Spirit. Some of them involving technical Greek grammar. But what about Jesus Christ? What about Him saying it? In John chapter 14, Jesus is already asking the Father to give every believer the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is a simple dwell, simple dealt with in that the Holy Spirit gives special disclosure. That's what is being asked for here. A special disclosure to every believer at different times in their life as they live close to the Spirit. Now this means that every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But not every believer has at every time given this disclosure that's being given. So this is what Paul is praying for. Here, in this one verse, we have all three members of the Godhead. We've already seen that in our study of prayer this morning. So now let's look at it again. We have all three members of the Godhead. Here we have the prayer by Jesus Christ and the same principle by the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ prays that the believer receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. Paul prays that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit be manifest in the believer as wisdom and revelation of truth. Now, he prays to God the Father of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we may receive from the Holy Spirit. This is a powerful prayer that Paul is now giving. May give you to you the Spirit. Well, now we got some Greek. This is something unusual in the Greek. See that word, may give? It's called in the Greek an optative. An optative. And it means, it's translated, may give. It's important. It's a rare optative. It means to give, may give. So the Holy Spirit is already present, but that every believer does not have the working inside them of the Holy Spirit. You understand that? Every believer has the Holy Spirit, but not every believer has this working. Every believer doesn't have this working. A word on the optative from Dan and Manny Greek grammar says the optative, which is what we're dealing with, may, the optative is the mood of strong, strong contingency. The mood of possibility. So that's what we're praying with. Praying the possibility that every believer can have this. It contains no definite anticipation of realization. In other words, this isn't going to happen to every believer. Not every believer is going to receive this. But merely presents the action as conceivable. Hence, it is one step further removed from reality, from the subjunctive mood in the Greek. But we're looking at the optative, that he may give it. Everyone doesn't have it, but he prays every believer will get it. So not every believer is going to receive these. Not very many get it, I'll have to tell you right now. Very few believers even begin to get this. This is what we were talking about as men begin, about having this wisdom. Having this wisdom. To having this knowledge of the true knowledge. That's what we're talking about. You want to get those. You want to pray that the Holy Spirit will give you this wisdom, give you this knowledge. That's what you want to do. So then it says, the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is of wisdom, not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. John 17 and 16, Jesus Christ called him the Spirit of Truth. We have studied on wisdom in verse 8 of Ephesians. Here is an explanation of this verse from Harold Arner again, which may be at some help to understanding it. The view here is suggesting that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit mentioned and not the human spirit. So this is what he's trying to do, put it together for us. Quote, yet two major problems come at this time. First, how can Paul pray for God to give them the Holy Spirit when he has already been imparted? See, we already have the implication of the Holy Spirit, so how is it being prayed for by Paul in our study? Then, secondly, how can these genitives, now genitive is a genitive of wisdom, genitive of revelation, be categorized? To answer the initial question, the second one must first be addressed. The second one must be addressed first. It is best to understand that these genitives denote characteristic quality. The spirit of characterized as one who gives insight and unveils God's hidden history. The genitives denote the special manifestation of the Spirit. Regarding the first problem, Paul is not praying that they be given the Holy Spirit. They already did. Christ prayed that in John 14. For he has already been imparted this. Rather, he is praying for a specific manifestation of God's mysteries as a result of the Holy Spirit's revelation. However, the request does not end here. Paul has this specific objective for the Spirit who gives insight and unveils. Now, we now come to the recognition of this wisdom. We've spent some time on it before. We've got some more time to look at it. We have come upon the rich word of wisdom in verse 8, and now we're going to look at just a few more important things. Phil puts spent a lot of time with wisdom, and as I said, we could spend months on it. We'll know a little bit more. It's a powerful prayer by Paul, praying that we'll all have this work of the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit. Now he's in prayer that we will be so empowered by him in understanding wisdom and knowledge. So we will resume here next Sunday. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace as we close our time this morning. We pray, Heavenly Father, in regard to every one of us at the judgment seat of Christ. We won't receive a silver heart, bronze medal, but we will receive blessings and rewards. If, Heavenly Father, we allow the Holy Spirit take control of our souls, give us wisdom and true knowledge. and that we get this at the judgment seat of Christ. Pray, Father, your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning. First of all, in prayer, the Holy Spirit praying for us when we need it, Jesus Christ praying for us when we need it, and then Heavenly Father for the study of the Word of God. Give us the wisdom. Give us the desire that the Holy Spirit will give us this wisdom. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.